Woman by Martha Peace, Adorned by Nancy DeMoss Wilgamuth. She's married now, so. And then Spiritual Mothering. So those are some of the resources that you can look through to kind of get an idea of what it means to be a Titus II woman. Okay. And then number two, who should I disciple? So second point, first, you want to disciple someone who's younger spiritually and someone who is probably seeking to grow it spiritually. So, and then secondly, someone who's younger in season of life. And these are also general guidelines. It's not like a rule, like they have to be younger in season of life, or they have to be like spiritually way younger than me so I can, like, you know, it's just generally this is what I would go by. Who's younger in season of life, because it's just easier because you have the experience and a lot of things that they might be going through, you might have already gone through. So it's just easier to walk them through through your experience and through, of course, through God's word as well. See someone who's younger, older, or same in age. I think a lot of people think, oh, like only someone who's older in age can disciple me. But I don't think that's necessarily true. Maybe it is helpful because of that experience, but I think it could be anybody. It could be someone older who just became a believer and who wants to be discipled, then they don't mind being discipled by someone who's younger in age. So I don't think it necessarily has to be that you have to be this older person. I think when you're young, like I think college and practice age, it might feel weird, like being discipled by someone, like you're like working and then you're getting discipled by a college student. That might be kind of weird, but I think that as you get older, the age difference doesn't really matter that much. So I don't think there's like a rule saying that you have to be older in age to disciple someone. And then let's see. And then someone who's just seeking to be discipled. So a lot of people want discipleship. They don't really know who to go to. Or so if like Lighthouse obviously asking you to disciple someone, that means there's someone who is seeking to be discipled. So for this point, I really encourage you not to be picky, but be flexible. Because I think sometimes you feel like, oh, well, I'm only going to disciple this person if this person is a college student or if this person has this criteria. But I think there's a blessing in just being open to discipling whoever is wanting to be discipled. Because I think for me, I have made so many great friends through discipleship. And a lot of them I didn't know before, like at all. Like, for example, like one of the gals here, I think I've never even met her. Like, so the first time I was meeting with her, I didn't know what she looked like. So I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, how am I going to figure out what she looks like? We decided to meet at a coffee shop, and I'm like, I don't know what she looks like. So I had to text her, and I'm like, can you send me a picture of yourself? Because, like, I don't know who I'm looking for. So, and now, like, I love her, you know? So it's like, you just want to be open and flexible. Don't be picky about like who you want to disciple. Don't like have like all these criteria of like, oh, well, I want someone who's like this and this and this. Like, you know, I think it's just important to be open to getting to know others and to love them. So, yeah. Okay, and then lastly under this point, how do I find disciplees? Like if you want a disciple and you don't really know who to disciple, like, I don't know, I think it's kind of weird, like, oh, hey, like, I know you, can I disciple you? Like, you know, like, I don't think women really do that. When I was talking to Brian, Brian's like, well, someone said that to me, like, his first discipler, I think, was like, hey, I think I need to disciple you. Like, but I don't think we usually do that, so I think it's just remembering that discipleship is not always formal, even though that's pretty much what I'm going to talk about, formal discipleship, but I think just kind of putting yourself out there, like, it's not going to happen if you're always hanging around, like, moms with my children's age people. Like, then, like, there's not really an opportunity to disciple others. Or if you're always hanging around, like, praxis people, for example, like, then how are you going to, like, meet anybody that you might be able to disciple. So I think just kind of being, letting yourself kind of getting out of that comfort zone and meeting people outside of your season of life, I think will be helpful. So maybe go to like the women's events. Coffee Talk's coming up February 3rd. There's a plug for you guys, whoever is organizing that. So like go to events like that where you're gonna be able to meet different women from different season of life, different age, different background. Like, I think that's also important. Maybe you can go to Beacon and check it out and maybe talk to Francis and see if there are people, college students, who want to be discipled. Go to Praxis, maybe go talk to Brian and see if there are people who want to be disciples. So like kind of being available and kind of putting yourself out there, I think will be helpful to get to know different people, different age groups, so that there are more opportunity for you to be in that culture, to be able to walk side by side, kind of like the Bible study we went through, to create that kind of culture. And then I think as you get to know people that way, maybe people will see that, oh man, I want to get to know this person, and maybe she can disciple me. So you're just kind of creating opportunities for that. And then if you still can't figure this out and you're like, well, I don't really want to go visit Praxis or go visit Beacon, and you kind of want the experience of just like formal one-on-one discipleship, then you can email Lighthouse Discipleship. Oh, no, it's discipleship@lighthousesouthbay.org. So when you visit the website and then fill whatever it is that they have there out, then I think they will try to help you to match you with someone that you can disciple. So those are kind of some of the ways that you can find disciplees. Okay, so that's the first 2 points. And then third point is just the practical steps of discipleship. So what formal discipleship looks like, and this is kind of mainly in my life. So this is kind of how I do discipleship. So I think many people wonder like what actually goes on in discipleship and kind of want to know like I'm kind of ready. I kind of get all the principles. I kind of get this, and I think I'm gonna be ready to disciple someone. So then what do I do? So this is kind of very practical steps on what I would do. So first you meet. So you set a time and a place to meet, or you could maybe if someone asked you to disciple someone, maybe have them introduce you like at church, and then you can just kind of meet and exchange information, email. And then I think it's important that we as discipler kind of initiate once we have met, like kind of, okay, what should we do next? Like, okay, you know, do you have time to meet such and such day? So email them, text them, and then figure out a plan to actually meet one-on-one. So most of the time on my first meeting with someone, what I do is that step B, get to know each other. So under that step, usually what I do is I ask a lot of questions. I ask about their work life, or I ask about their family background. I think I listed it there. I ask about their friendship, non-Christian friendships, Christian friendships. I asked about their church life, testimony. I don't know if everyone here goes to Lighthouse. Is there anybody who's here outside of Lighthouse? No, okay, yeah. So I asked about their testimony. I asked about kind of their spiritual walk, like when did you become a believer? So all of that. So it's just a time for me to get to know my disciplee, and through that, you'll kind of see like certain things that maybe they might be struggling with. Maybe they have certain family relationships or dynamics that are hard for them, you know. So you're kind of listening for that. So main thing that I do during that time is really listen. And then don't just ask and let them share everything, but share about yourself too. Maybe give them your own testimony and maybe your life, so that they can kind of get a sense of who you are too, because it's kind of a two-way thing. It's not like just you trying to teach this person. It's really life on life, living together, walking together side by side. So you also want them to get a sense of who you are as well and make them feel comfortable and want them to be relatable to you as well. So that's what usually what my first meeting will look like. And then thirdly, after getting to know each other, then what I go through is kind of why discipleship. So kind of two steps to why discipleship. Is kind of getting the disciplee's reasons as to why she wants to be a disciple. So kind of what are her expectations? What does she want to get out of discipleship? Why was she seeking discipleship to begin with? So kind of getting a sense of that. And this may bring up struggles or areas of growth, areas that they might want to work on. I don't know, it could be contentment, parenting, it could be all kinds of stuff, but you'll kind of get a sense of what they're wanting out of discipleship. And then second part of why discipleship is why you are discipling, why you want to be a discipler. So kind of sharing about maybe your expectations and then maybe kind of your experience and where you're coming from in terms of discipleship. So maybe this is like your first time discipling someone, and that's okay. Just be honest about it. You know, I've never really discipled anybody, but this is great. Like, share about just like your willingness and how God has really placed a desire in your heart to love others well. So just being really honest with them, and you just kind of want them to know that you're just being faithful to, you know, what God has called you to be a discipler. So, and then, or maybe you have been discipled yourself and you just been so blessed by it and you want to give back. You really just cherish that experience of someone discipling you, and maybe that's why you want to disciple others and bless others as well. So just kind of sharing why you're taking on this task of discipleship. And then I usually share like a verse on discipleship. I don't know if it's listed there. No. So I think this is kind of personal, like as to what maybe kind of thinking through beforehand why you want to disciple someone, and then what are some verses that has really been maybe convicted you or challenged you or encouraged you to disciple. So usually I'll share a verse, and some of the verses I'll just list them for you are like Matthew 22:37-39. That's the greatest commandment. And then Ephesians 4:15. And then Hebrews 10:24. And I think this is the most common one that I use, and I can share that with you. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So that's one of the verses that I sometimes share. There's also 1 Thessalonians 5:8-11. Romans 12:2. I'm going to let you guys just look those up. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think Brian also shared on that. And so you don't have to share all. I just usually just pick one, and then I share why I like that verse, and why I'm discipling is because of one of those verses maybe. And then lastly, I share my limitations. I let them know that I'm not going to have all the answers, because I won't. But I think it's important to commitment to their growth. So even though you're not going to have any answers, you want to do your best to help them. So that's where the plugged in the church comes into play. Because if you can't answer the questions, you can always go back and ask someone. Like, it's for me, it's easier because, like, my husband is one of the pastors here, so I just go ask him, or, you know. But there's so many great leaders at Lighthouse, so many staff, so many, like, associate pastors, whoever it may be, you can always go and ask them. So I think just sharing, letting them know that you're not going to always know what to say or how to answer them, I think is important as well, so they're not thinking that you're going to know all the answers. And then let them know that it'll also be a growing experience for you as well, not just them, because it really is. You're kept accountable for kind of what you're telling your disciplee. If you're telling them trusting God in this, then hopefully you are striving to trust in God in that as well. So it kind of really keeps you accountable. So you will really be blessed by that time with them. Okay, so once I meet them, I get to know them, and then we kind of go through like why discipleship, why do you want to be disciples? Oh, you know, I'm discipling because of blah, blah, blah. Then the next step I take is, can this work? So now that you kind of know each other better, and then you make sure that it's, you want to make sure that it's doable and practical. So by what I mean by that is you want to talk about your schedule. So if you're discipling someone who's working and they cannot meet you during the day, but the only time you have is during the day, then it's not going to work. Like, but, and it's great though, you got to know each other, yay! But then if you can't meet, then you can't meet. So it's not going to be doable. So you want to make sure that you find time that's suitable for both of you so that you can actually meet, because that's a really big part of it, meeting consistently and committing to that time. So so you want to talk about that. But don't like limit yourself as well, because I don't know, because I was a stay-at-home mom for like 14 years, so I can't really speak for those moms who are also working. I think that is probably very difficult for them, but I think there are many ways that you can make time. So for me, like sometimes I will meet like 8 o'clock at night after the kids are done, fed, and you know, all of that. And then Jason usually doesn't get home till like 7:30. Then when he gets home, then I get ready and then I go out. So it's like I always say hour, but it's never an hour. So realistically, it's never an hour. So it's usually hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours if they're really difficult. No, I'm just kidding. But it always runs over an hour. So you want to be realistic. Or you can also do like Sunday morning before church. And I know it's like really early, but you know, Jesus rose from the grave, so we can get out of bed an hour early. Come on, you know, let's do that. Or it could be, yeah, Sunday morning before service or Sunday morning after service. Maybe you guys can go grab coffee or lunch or something. So just, yeah, finding that time that's suitable for you. Some people have asked about like balancing raising a family and discipleship. So I think, yeah, it is a season if you are married and you have young kids. I think it is a difficult season for you, and you want to serve and invest in other people's lives. But at the same time, you are caring for, I don't know, 4 children at home. So it's like very difficult for you to have that time. And when you do have time, you kind of want to rest, right? So, and I think that's important. So, but maybe being creative, maybe using the kids' nap time, or like I said, maybe you put them down early and then, you know, meet them after you put them down for bed, or maybe inviting them to your home and then teaching your children to maybe hang out by themselves for an hour while you meet. So there are, I think, different ways to do it, but for sure it's not, if you can't do it, you can't do it. And I think that's just a season of life that God has put you in, and it's okay. You can serve and love others in different ways. So be realistic. So like, if you don't just try to fit it in here and there and think that it's going to work out, because more times than not, it's not going to. So you want to be able to have that time to schedule and commit to it, instead of just like, oh, like maybe I can meet next week. Let's see. We'll see. Like, it doesn't usually happen well, like, if you do that. So just try to commit to the time. And if you can't do it, that's this season of life, then it's okay. You serve other ways, and then you find time when you have come out of that season. So if you haven't discipling someone, and then you, for whatever reason, get pregnant, and now you're like, I'm going to have a newborn, then you can't disciple anymore. Like, I've had instances, like 2 people who went on maternity leave from discipleship and asked me to just take them over for a 6 months period of time or 8 months period of time. So that's happened before to me as well. So if you feel like, oh, next 8 months is going to be crazy busy, then I think you as a discipler should help them find someone for that time period or do something to help them to still walk or grow in their walk. So I think that's kind of our responsibility to do that for our disciplee. And then you kind of decide what works for you. And then you want to set a time, like how often should we meet? So I typically will do every week, which hasn't happened in a while because like I'm really busy too. Every other week, or if schedule doesn't work out or things change, then I will try to do every third week. I try not to go any longer than that, only because if you go longer and not wait too long to meet, then what happens is you just end up catching up with one another, and then you don't really get to the whatever it is that you've committed to doing. So I think you kind of lose the momentum, and then you end up just talking about what happened the last month, and then that's it. And then your hour is gone. And you know, women talk a lot, so an hour is not very long. So, but that's just like there's no rule. Like you could do every month and it might be fine. But for me, I think I try not to, every other week is ideal. I try to not go longer than that. So kind of keeping that commitment, I think, is important. Okay, and then one other thing under this portion is maybe you feel like, maybe you feel like you're not at the right spiritual state to help others based on what you got to know when you did the whole get to know stage. Maybe, I don't know, for example, maybe you found out about certain struggles or issues that you have just no idea about or how to help them or how to walk with them. And you feel like it's like overwhelming them, and then it's kind of like overwhelming you because you don't know what to do with it or how to help them. I think if that's the case, it's okay to kind of refer them to counseling or maybe to someone else who's had some experience, because you don't want to feel like every time you meet you're feeling this feeling overwhelmed and you can't really help them at all, and then you feel helpless, and then they feel helpless, and you're not giving them really hope because you don't really know how to give them hope, and then they feel hopeless. So you don't really want to get to that stage. So if you feel like getting to know them, you feel like, well, I don't know, I don't think that this is the right struggle that I can help them with, then I think maybe it might be wise. So just like use your wisdom, it might be wise to maybe find them somebody else or encourage them to do counseling if it is like a maybe life-dominating sin or something that is more serious or, yeah, more I guess, immediate. So that's what I would do. Okay. So after you have figured out that this is going to work, so it can work, then you want to kind of figure out the content of your meeting. So that's E. Content of your meeting. So the content of the meeting, usually there are different things that you can do. You can do a book study, you can do the book of the Bible, you can do a topical study, you can do accountability, you can do, if they're a new believer, maybe like a fundamentals of the faith. Like there are definitely so many things that you can do, but I think what you want to first do is, I usually ask my disciplee, so was there something that you would want to go through? Or is there something in your life that you're struggling with that you want to tackle? Or, you know, so kind of get an idea, get some ideas from them, because sometimes they come to you and they're like, oh yeah, I know exactly like what I want to do. Can we do this? And it can be intimidating because, like, maybe you don't really want to do that. But I think you want to be open and flexible and honest about it. Like, I think for me, there have been a couple instances where they wanted to do something that I might not have, like, felt totally comfortable with because maybe it wasn't, like, area of my strength. But I think it's something that God can use to grow you as a discipler or even just as a person, and to be able to walk with them together and grow together and learn together, even if it's not something that you might be familiar with. So just, I think just being open is important. And like I said, we have an amazing staff. So if you need help, they can always help you. So don't be afraid to ask for help if you feel like you need that help. And then sometimes they will come and they have no idea what they want to do. So I think that's probably more common than someone who knows exactly what they want to do. And even with someone who knows exactly maybe what they want, or they know their struggle well, but maybe they're like, don't be afraid to kind of go beyond their struggle. So, like, I don't know, maybe someone is struggling with their dating relationship, but maybe it's not really the dating relationship that they're struggling with. Maybe it's like more of a contentment. Maybe it's more their identity, finding identity in their relationship. So don't be afraid to kind of go beyond what they think that they need. If you feel like, oh, maybe, you know, this might be more helpful, and then just be honest with them and talk to them about it, and kind of choose what you think is best for that discipleship. And then for those who don't know what they want to do, I think you can help them figure out by suggesting different things. This is kind of where you can go a little bit deeper with them, like maybe the areas of growth or maybe struggles, like when you guys talked about it in C above, when you were sharing about why they want to be disciples. So maybe they don't really, maybe they're new believers. So then they really don't know what they want to do. So then that's where you kind of step in and help them with, maybe we should, do you know the Bible? Do you know the books of the Bible? You know, just ask them a lot of questions so that you kind of get a feel for what you can go through with them. But don't just suggest going through something just because you're familiar with it. So maybe you have discipled other people before and you've gone through this one or two particular book. And so because you have already read it and you're familiar with it, let's do that with everybody else. Like, I definitely advise against that. Just because you're familiar with something doesn't mean that's really applicable to everybody. So try to pick something that will be helpful to your disciplee. So, for example, don't suggest a parenting book if they don't have kids. Okay, that's like very obvious, right? And sometimes, like when I go through certain things, maybe you're doing something with growing as a wife, and sometimes that involves children. But if they don't have children, I just tell them to, like, oh yeah, just read through these two chapters quickly, and because it may not be really applicable to them now. And then maybe we just skip those two chapters and then go with whatever is more relevant to them. So you don't have to always stick with, like, the chapters or the books or whatever. And then going back to the time commitment, if you and your disciple decide that you don't really have time to read another book, I mean, Lighthouse, we're always doing book studies, we're doing, you know, different things. You might be doing a study with your accountability. You might be doing a study with your small group. Like, you know, so maybe you don't have time for that. Then you can agree to just meet and do accountability. Like, kind of, maybe they have an area that they want to be accountable for. So you're keeping them accountable for that area. That's totally fine. But I think you just have to be careful that it's not just a time where you just talk. and like vent about what's going on or things like that. You just want to be make sure that it's intentional, and you want them to do their homework as to what areas that they want to be accountable for, and you want to do your homework as to like what are some of the good questions that I can ask them every week or every other week that you meet that will be helpful to them. So don't just make it about hanging out, because then you're not really pointing them to Christ if you're just talking about your day and nothing gets really done or thought through. So usually during each meeting, it will consist of, I think it's in your notes, it will consist of like catching up, praying with them or praying for them, and then usually any thoughts on the materials that we study, any questions that we might have that that we were supposed to go over, and then we do prayer requests, and then I set the next meeting. So sometimes the books do have questions and workbooks, which are great because then that's less work for you, but sometimes they don't. So I think for the times that they don't have questions, then it's kind of you on your part to maybe do a little more studying beforehand, and then I usually send out questions beforehand. So I try to read it. If we meet every other week, I try to read it that first week and then make up questions and then email them out so that there's something a little structured and meaty that you can talk about the next time you meet. So that's how I would usually do it. So in all of this content of the of your discipleship meeting, you want to be just mindful of like the goals of, are we growing in trust in Jesus? Kind of everything that Brian kind of talked about. Are we growing in trust in Jesus, our faith in Jesus, you know, our inward state spiritually? And then secondly, are we growing in Christ-likeness? So that's like being like Jesus, Brian talked about. Which is kind of upward, kind of emulating Christ and becoming more sanctified like Christ. And then thirdly, you want to be mindful of, are we living out our faith in whatever areas? So that's kind of the outward. Are we doing that? So each meeting, you don't have to like go over it every time, but that's just kind of a general maybe goal that you have in the back of your mind to really grow together in. So trust in Jesus, be like Jesus, and live for Jesus. So this is kind of a general format, and just to remind you that you are there to bless and point your disciple to Christ. And one way that you can do that is to also share your struggles. I think Brian touched on that as well. Just sharing your struggles and your prayer requests with them, allowing them to be a part of your life, allowing them to see how you respond to your struggle, allowing them to really pray for you and minister to you as well, is also part of discipleship. Yeah, so you want to invest in each other and share in the joys and the struggles together. Okay, so with all this structure though, it is great, but I think that you also want to be mindful of being flexible, because sometimes there are more immediate things that come up in a meeting, and you don't want to like set that aside and be like, okay, well, but we have to do chapter 10 today, so we're going to get through chapter 10. Sometimes I just set that aside. We don't even talk about the book, and we just have to kind of address some of the things that they're going on. Maybe something happened, some of the struggles that came up. So keep the structure, which is great, but then also be flexible that sometimes you want to, it's not always loving them well to just keep that schedule. You want to be flexible and take that detour. Sometimes God blesses you in those moments as well. Okay, Roman numeral 4, duration of discipleship. So for me, the duration of discipleship is lifelong. Okay, not formal discipleship, but just discipleship itself in general should be lifelong, hopefully lifelong relationship with this person. But for formal discipleship, I usually establish in the beginning that it doesn't necessarily have to be forever or for 3 years or 5 years. I usually try to establish it so that it's, I don't know, the next year or six, or depending on whatever we're doing. So if whatever we're doing is going to take us 8 months, then let's evaluate after 8 months if we want to still continue, or maybe our schedules change, maybe, you know, things are going to be different then, and maybe you won't need discipleship, maybe you want to go disciple somebody else. So like, I don't really set a timeline. I mean, I don't really like just start a discipleship without kind of setting that in advance, because sometimes what happens is you just like keep meeting, and it's like you don't want to say anything and they don't want to say anything, and then you just keep meeting, and then okay, like let's do that next, like, you know. But I think the best way to do that is to kind of set that in the beginning. But if you're already in a relationship and you're just like meeting and you don't really know how to end it, then I think it is our responsibility to talk about ending the discipleship. And why should you end it when things are so good? So there are a couple reasons. I think if you have been meeting too long and it has become kind of a discipleship to a friendship relationship, which is awesome, it's great. But if that's the case and you just like meet and there's not really much, I guess, advancing or growth, then I think you want to mutually encourage one another to go and love someone else, like love others. So you can still meet once in a while, catch up or whatever, but if it's not really helpful or fruitful to be meeting, then I think it's good to just say, you know, we're friends, we're established, you know, we know we can keep each other accountable, but let's think about maybe loving others. And that time spent could be, you know, spent on somebody, loving somebody else. So that's kind of one way to do it. Or maybe it's been a long time and it's just like kind of grown cold, or it's just become a habit and you just keep meeting. So then I think it's our responsibility again to just kind of humbly acknowledge our limitations and maybe point them and stir them to meet with somebody else. So just kind of, yeah, that might be kind of a good way or transition for them to meet with somebody else. And then after we have maybe gone through something and we've kind of established that, you know, things are different, or I'm busy, or I got married, or, you know, I want to take some time off or whatever, that's totally fine. But I think as a discipler, you want to make sure that you are following up with them. You want to still continue the relationship. And this is what I mean by lifelong. You want to be able to catch up with them and still try to do life with them outside of your formal discipleship. So what I usually will do is I'm not always good about it, but I will try to at least catch up with them once every year, or, you know, every 6 months or something. So like I would maybe do Christmas dinners with them, try to arrange something to go out with them, something fun, or I would try to call them up and try to get coffee with them once in a while, so that you're still in part of that their lives, and you're also just letting them know that you're still available, even though you're not meeting with them formally. And then you also want to do something like fun outside of that formal discipleship. So maybe just try to find time to hang out. I don't know, maybe if you guys are both into fashion, maybe, I don't know, go shopping together. I don't know, something fun, like something fun that you can do outside of just meeting and doing, you know, work or discipleship. So I kind of stress that as well. One of the blessings that I have experienced through a friend who was discipling somebody else, like my friend has like she has a like gift of hospitality, and she loves hosting, she's so good at it, and she was discipling somebody, and she was kind of so what they decided to do as a discipler and disciplee kind of event is they decided to bless all the elder wives. So they invited us and they gave us like a day of spa, tea and spa. So they hosted at their house, they did like a tea lunch thing for us, and then they like made these, I don't know, beanbag things that you can warm it up and put it on your face, or I don't know what, I'm not really into spa, but anyway, so like it was still a blessing. They had us go and like paint our nails, like it was all at their house, but something fun that she was able to teach her disciple by blessing others. So something like that will be good too. So that's kind of the duration of discipleship, that it hopefully it will be a lifelong relationship for you, a lifelong investment, and that you'll get to keep in touch with them. And for me, I give all my disciples priority. So if they want to take some time off, but then next year they're like, hey, can we meet again? Then I give them priority instead of taking on a new disciple. I would like to keep, that's just me, but you don't have to do that. But I just, I think for me, that's what I do, because I want to keep that relationship. It's an investment that I made in their lives, and I want to keep that up. So, okay, and then lastly but not least, I think we have to remember that God is the one who sanctifies and grows us and produces fruit in us and in them. So we really want to be faithful in prayer. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for ourselves. So make sure that you are praying for them and praying to God about your dependence on God. I think it shows our humility and just really telling God that we can't do this alone, because we really can't. We really need him to really work through us. But he does work through us, and he uses the ordinary to really do extraordinary things. So I think we have to remember that he, even though you might feel like you're not adequate, then it is even better, because then the glory goes through God. So just really being prayerful. And also as you're praying through and as you're meeting with them, I think don't be discouraged if someone that you are discipling chooses not to follow your advice or not to follow the truth of God's word. And I think the most common example is when someone you're discipling decides to date a non-Christian. It's a very common thing. And I think that you feel like you've told them the truth, you've really encouraged them that it's probably not wise to do that, but they kind of blow you off and decide to do it anyway. I don't want you to feel discouraged. Like, it's just an example. It could be something else that really you, what we're responsible for is really pointing them to the truth of God's word, to God, and that's kind of like our part, and lovingly and patiently walking with them and really speaking the truth in love to them. If you've done that and they choose otherwise, then I think we have to remember that you have done your part, and that is kind of their responsibility. So don't feel bad or discouraged that they're not doing what you want them to, and you really want that for them, and you really love them, and you want to see them do that, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. And if it doesn't, then don't feel like you've failed, because you have not. You have done your part in successfully showing them Christ and pointing them to Christ and giving them the truth of God's word. So that's how you would measure your success in discipleship. So yeah, be prayerful and depend on him. And just when you're humbly depending on him, then I think even when things don't go the way you want it, then you would still feel peace, and God will give you that peace, knowing that you have done what God has called you to. Okay. Okay, so that's the prayer part, and that's pretty much it for the seminar. I did give you 2 pages of resources for discipleship and different areas of discipleship that most of these books I have gone through. Some of them I have not, but they're all coming from someone who have used them or have really come with high recommendation. So you can kind of go through that. Some of my favorites, I don't know, I think Gospel Primer is always good. Bite-sized Theology for someone who is a new believer, and The Cross-Centered Life. For marriage, I love Heaven at Home. That's probably one of my favorite books to go through. Or Feminine Appeal. But there's so many. If you have any questions, you can also ask me. And there are a lot of good resources. And then lastly, I want to leave you with some of the feedback that I got from my disciples that I have discipled. I asked them like kind of some of the reasons why they wanted to be disciples, so you kind of get an idea of what people come with. And they said someone to just pray and walk with. They were a new believer. They just wanted to grow, and they wanted someone to just help them grow. They wanted to learn from someone older or more mature believer. They were new to Lighthouse, and they didn't really know. They wanted someone to walk with them, and they didn't really know who to go to. And then somebody else said they just started going back to church, and they really wanted someone to walk with them through that process. Some of the expectations that they had, I think just commitment to meet with them and encourage them, someone who would just point them to Christ, someone who can challenge them and keep them accountable. And some people just said they didn't really know what to expect. So these aren't like huge, like, oh, you know, I really need this process of change and I really need help. You know, they're not like profound things that you should be like afraid of. They just want somebody to walk with them, and what a blessing that is that you can be there for them. And then some of the things how discipleship was helpful to them was they said they it was helpful because they got to learn from someone with experience. It was helpful because there were sin issues and idols that were uncovered through the discipleship. They were motivated to grow in Christ. It helped them to recognize and deal with sin better. And it helped them to be able to see someone live out God's calling. And also, it's helpful to have just someone who they can just ask questions and seek affirmation and advice from. So I think most of them, it was just helpful to them to just have someone there with them to just do life together. So it's not super hard. So I don't want you to be discouraged by that. And I asked them if they want to, now that they have been discipled, would they want to go and disciple others? And that's like that last part that Brian talked about, disciple making disciple. And most of them said yes, or I think most of them are already discipling others, so which is a blessing. And then, and some of them said, well, maybe not yet, and that's okay too. You know, it's not always about formal discipleship. I think our church has a culture of discipleship, so I think if you're plugged in and serving in children's ministry, plugged in and serving anywhere, you are part of that discipleship making process. And then I want to leave you with just an encouragement from my disciples to you. I asked them, how would you encourage someone who's thinking about discipling others? What would you say to them? And one person said, discipling others allows you to use experiences and knowledge that God has blessed you with to help others grow to be more like Christ-like in the various areas of their life. Through discipleship, you will be showing them God's love by the way you care for them and make sacrifices to invest time in them. And this will be an example to them for how they can love others selflessly. Another person said, being discipled yourself is one of the best ways you can prepare to disciple others. Pray about it a lot and have conversations with more mature Christians to evaluate your own motives. And then read the Bible as much as you can so that when you do step into the role of discipler, you can ground everything you say in the Bible. Lastly, know that the best discipleship is a vulnerable sharing of your own need for grace. This honesty is one of the most important gifts you can give to your disciplee. Another person said, don't be afraid. Don't try to become perfect yourself first. Pray for God to grow you and show you your sin constantly. Love God and not the approval of others. And then another one said, do it. Trust in God's faithfulness, provision, sovereignty, and step out in faithful obedience. It is such a blessing to learn and grow together with another sister in Christ. And know that God's grace provides at Lighthouse church leadership, biblical counselors, and many experienced disciplers who are all willing to be the resources and support to us who are called to carry out the ministry of the gospel in the body of Christ. And then lastly, she said, I'm always so encouraged by the people I disciple, and I feel like I learn a lot from them, and I'm encouraged by them. Also, I see how it is a blessing and how we can use what God has done in our lives in his faithfulness to point others towards him. It really is nice to walk alongside someone you can encourage and point to Christ. So these are some of the encouragements from my disciplees, and just want to encourage you that you get to have the front row seat to God's grace in others' lives, and that's such a blessing. So I hope that this was helpful to you and that you are encouraged to go and disciple others. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for the ladies here who are here to want to really live out the second greatest commandment in loving others well. Lord, I pray that you would help them to just really evaluate their heart and their motives, but also at the same time, be humble before you, just wanting to love others well and to be available for them, to be flexible, and to go out and make disciples. So Lord, continue to equip us, help us, and just lead us and guide us. And we know that in your sovereignty, you bring people into our lives that you want to bless. So may we be faithful and obedient in your calling, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.